Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for the old rugged cross. We thank you for the salvation that was obtained there for us, for the sacrifice that Jesus was willing to give. We thank you for the salvation that we have because of his death and his burial and his resurrection. And Father, not only the salvation and the eternal life, but we thank you for the power and the authority that you've given us because of what he won for us there on that cross. There's no way we could ever put it into words, but Father, we truly love you and we thank you for it. We thank you for the privilege that we have to stand here tonight and to minister your word, and I just pray that it would speak to our hearts in a very special way. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight is probably going to be more of a teaching than it is a preaching, but we're going to look at the cross tonight because the cross is paramount to the Christian. What took place there, if it wasn't for the cross, we could not be saved. In fact, Paul puts it this way in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. He says, "But God forbid that I should glory or that I should boast in anything except the cross." And he says God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. But that's exactly what that means, that there's nothing that we should boast in other than the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, he said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God." So it's either foolishness or it's the power in your life. And he made it very clear there. He said, to those that perish, it is foolishness. It's foolishness to them. That's why they reject it. But once the Holy Spirit comes into their life and gives them an enlightenment of the cross, then they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then it becomes the power of God unto salvation in their lives. You know, in our society today here in the Western Hemisphere, the cross is really nothing more than just a symbol that we hang on our necks, on a necklace around our necks. We might have some in our homes. You might even see them in offices in different places. It's really become almost a meaningless symbol. I mean, even people that are not Christians wear cross necklaces and have crosses in their homes. But folks, back in the days when Jesus lived, the cross was one of the most degraded and debased symbols imaginable. Not only was it the cross a means of horrible torture and punishment, but it was a symbol of absolute shame. And of course, we know that Jesus went to the cross and died there for us and took all of our torture and our death and our shame. But Paul completely understand what the cross meant to the folks back in his day when he made the statement that he would only glory in the cross of Christ. And I'm sure for the people back then, that had to be a very strange statement. Now here Paul is saying, you know, the first thing that really caught him was he's trying to take this shameful symbol, this symbol of death and torture and punishment, and saying that he glories in that. And to them, that had to be very strange. That would be like for us today to say, you know, that we glory in the electric chair, if it was our day and time and Jesus had been killed in the electric chair. You know, that wouldn't make sense to most people, would it? Well, first of all, Paul's statement was not based on what society thought. It was based on what God had revealed to him about the cross. And Paul had a lot of revelation on the cross. We know from reading the Bible that God took the vilest of symbols, the cross, and turned it into a glorious token of victory. Now, something I thought about this week that really hit home with me. Now, the devil has made a road for men to travel down that leads straight to hell. That's called the broad road in the Bible. But God took the cross of Jesus Christ and slammed it down right in the middle of that road. And anybody that goes to hell literally has to crawl over the cross to get there. God loved us so much that he put the cross in our way. And we cannot look at the cross and deny it. We have to do something with it. We either have to crawl over it and go right on our way to hell, or we can receive what happened at the cross, receive that salvation, and go on from there. And the Bible even tells us that if Satan had known what he was doing, he would have never crucified Christ, because that was actually his great downfall at the cross. He thought he was winning a great victory, but he was actually defeated at the cross. One thing that I found interesting is that the death of Christ is mentioned 175 times in the New Testament. Now, I wanted to go back and do some more research on that and kind of find out how often that was per chapter, but it's got to be fairly frequently. It's going to be at least once for every chapter that's in the Bible or in the New Testament, maybe even more often than that. But it is mentioned 175 times, and of course we know that it is even mentioned back in the Old Testament. And in Isaiah chapter 53, and starting in verse 4, the Bible says, talking about Jesus, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And again, I don't know about you, but that is hard for me to fathom how Jesus could take the iniquity of all of us. And that word iniquity is just another word for sin, for our wickedness. But God laid all of our sin, all of our wickedness on Jesus, and it says that he bore that for us. Now, on the other side of that coin, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a statement here that I have studied and I have meditated on, and I know you've heard it because I've used it many times, but I don't know that any man has ever fully got a great revelation on this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him," in other words, for God hath made Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And of course, we are made the righteousness of God in him because of the cross. But it's beyond my comprehension of how we can trade our sin for the righteousness of God. Now, if we look at God, we have to admit he is righteous and that he is holy. And according to what God tells us here, we are made the righteousness of God. We are just as holy as we can be in our spirit the second that we're saved. And Jesus traded all of our sin. He took our sin and gave us God's righteousness. And a verse that goes right along with it, I think, is where Paul said, "Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound." And of course, we know there's no greater example of that grace than right there on the old rugged cross. In fact, again, words are beyond our comprehension of exactly how great that is. But not only did Paul preach the cross, but he gloried in the cross. He boasted in the cross. And again, this had to be very strange to the people back then. They saw the cross as a very detestable symbol. And yet Paul said, "The cross is the only thing that I boast in." And Paul had a lot of things that he could have boasted in. He could have boasted in his heritage. And in fact, he told the church at Philippi that he had a reason that he could do that. And he lists all of the different reasons that he could have done that, being a Jew of the Jews and being one of the top leaders in the Jewish sect and all the different things and his education and all that. But he said, "I don't boast in that." He could have boasted in his success as an evangelist. I don't know of anybody back then, especially, that had any kind of success compared to what Paul had. And he could have boasted in his status as an apostle. He was an apostle after the fact. You know, the 12 apostles that were with Jesus were there at that time. Paul came along later and says that he was one that was born out of due time. And he was actually the 13th apostle, if you want to call it that. And he could have boasted on that. But he said, I don't boast in any of that. I boast only in the cross. Now, folks, the cross ought to mean a whole lot to us. We need to learn to look at the cross the way that Paul did, that blood-stained, hated instrument of torture became very precious to him, because that's the place where his life was literally transformed. And guess what? If we've been saved, that's where our life was transformed. That's why the cross was so precious to Paul. That's why the cross ought to be so precious to each and every one of us, because that's where our lives were transformed. It might look like defeat, and if you look at it from the physical, natural realm, it does look like defeat. It looks like Satan actually won. But it wasn't defeat. It was victory. It was victory over sin. It was victory over the law. It was victory over the grave. And of course, the resurrection assured us of that victory. But what looks like defeat is definitely not defeat. Now, the cross of Jesus does three things for us. And I, as God gave these to me, I was just amazed. I'd never really thought about this in this way before. But the first thing that the cross does is it demonstrates God's love for us. Romans 5:8 says that, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And while we were yet enemies of the cross, Jesus went to the cross and gave his life for us. And like we talked about this morning, he shed his precious blood for us on that cross so that we might be saved. If Satan ever comes to you and tries to make you doubt God's love, all you have to do is take him back to the cross and say, right here is evidence that God loves me. You know, a lot of times things happen in our lives that we try to blame on God. And folks, it's not God. It's Satan. The Bible clearly tells us that Satan is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That Jesus came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. We get that twisted around sometimes and try to blame God for that. But God loves us. God is a good God. And the Bible, like I said this morning, says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father above. So we need to go back to the cross anytime that we have any doubt of God's love for us. The cross also marks the defeat of Satan and the ultimate victory of God and for us. We look at the cross and we see the struggle. And again, it looks like defeat, and it is defeat. But it's defeat for Satan, not for God, and not for Christ, and not for us. It was defeat for Satan. And because he defeated Satan there, that's why we can, and that's why we should, boast in the cross. And the third thing, and again, this is probably one that we all know, but I want you to really think about it. And if you're saved, we need to be giving God praise for this. The cross is where we can be forgiven of our sins, no matter how bad our past. You know, sometimes I talk to people and they say, well, I've just been too bad for God to forgive me. Folks, I've never met anybody in my lifetime that was any badder, if you want to use that terminology, than Paul was. I've never met anybody in my life that was a murderer of Christians thinking they were doing God's will, and that's exactly where Paul was. But it doesn't matter what we've done, there's still the cross. The blood of Jesus can and will cover any sin, even after we're saved. You know, I've heard people say, well, I've sinned. I just don't see how God can ever use me. Folks, the blood of Jesus can cover any sin. Any sin. If you go through the Bible, it's full of people that have sinned. Abraham lied about his wife. Moses was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. There's all sorts of different people in there, but the blood of Jesus covered them, and God used them in tremendous ways. So we need to make sure that we understand that. You know, there's really only one thing that matters in this life when you look at it, when it all get it all boiled down. And I'm talking about, of course, to the Christians, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for that cross, we would still be dead in our sins. We would have no hope. We wouldn't have the life and the joy and the peace that we have. We definitely wouldn't have the victory that we have. We wouldn't have the eternal life that we have. It truly is the power of God unto salvation, and we need to praise God for the cross. Again, put yourself at the very foot of that cross and to look up and see Jesus hanging on that cross, and make sure that you see it as the power of God unto salvation. Don't look at it just as an event in history. Don't look at it even as just a Christian event. Look at it as you standing at the cross and you personally seeing your Savior hanging there for your salvation. Let's stand and pray before we sing. Father, I thank you so much for the old rugged cross. And truly, it has lost a lot of its symbolism in our world today. But Father, we understand and realize back then that it was definitely a symbol of shame. And God, help us as Christians to see it as a symbol of victory, where Jesus went and gave his life and shed his blood that we could have eternal life and that we could be forgiven of our sins. And Father, I pray that as we sing this song, that you would help us to visualize ourselves at the foot of the cross and have a new awareness and a new appreciation of what Jesus did there for us on that cross. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.